Right. Good morning. Today's daf is Yuma daf Lamed Zayin. It's Lisha Graf again attempting to sit for Rabbi Leibowitz, who left to snowy Yerushalayim, and luckily ours was washed away, so he probably has it worse than we do, at least as far as the snow. But in any event, today we're going to continue with the discussion of Vidui. We're going to start by discussing what aspect of the actual service of the par was affected the kapara, whether it was the vidui that the kohen actually said on the par, whether it was the matnas dam that the kohen did with the par. We're then going to have a little discussion of the text of the vidui that that the kohen said over the par. We're then going to talk a little bit about, and Rabbi Leibowitz made reference to this in yesterday's shiur, the response that everybody made when they heard the Kohen say the Shem Hashem in connection with the vidui on the par. The next mission on Lamed Zayin Amud Aleph is then going to talk about, it's going to introduce us to the process of the Goral for the Seir La Hashem and the Seir La Azazel, and the Gemara then specifically going to tell us about the gorolos that were kept in the kalpi, in the gorol box. And when we talk about the gorol that was, when we talk about the gorolos that were placed in the kalpi box and what they were made out of, then the process for the gorol, that's going to lead to a discussion that's introduced in the Mishnah and then is expounded on in the Gemara about other things that people made for the Beis HaMikdash, which were very, very beautiful and enhanced the level of the Avodah and the Beis HaMikdash. And for that reason, we were masker them l'shvach. Then the next mission, ultimately, in a couple of blot, is going to talk about people who did things that we don't view in as favorable a light, and we were masker them l'gnai. But in any event, starting on Lamed Vav Amud Beis, at the last two dots on the page, 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12 lines up from the bottom, it says the Gemara, Tana Rabbanan. It says, V'chiper, it says in the Pasuk, and the Pasuk that the Gemara is quoting from here is, V'hikrev Aaron as parachatos asher lo, the Aaron would bring the par kohen gadol, V'chiper ba'ado uve'ad beso, and it would be mechaper for him and everybody in his family. So it says, V'chiper, says the Gemara, B'chaparas dvarim akasim edaber. What affects the kapara when we're talking about the par shel kohen gadol? We're talking about kaparas dvarim. It's the vidui that he says on the par, which is mechaper. So says the Gemara, Atomer b'chaparas dvarim, o'eno ela kaparas damim. How do you know it's the kaparas dvarim? Maybe it's the kaparas damim. Maybe it is the blood service, that the sprinkling of the blood that the kohen does on, we'll see in a couple of blot, he sprinkles the blood on the kapores and then near the paroches. Maybe it's that entire blood service that's mechaper. It's the avodas adam, but it's not the vidui. Says the Gemara, Rani done, because I'm going to be done a kal v'chomer for you. So Nemrakan kapara. It says over here by the park shel kohen gadol the word kapara. Menemra lahalan, and it says by the seer hamishtaleach, by the seer la'azazel, also the word kapara. Sama kapara ha'amura b'sa'ir dvarim. Just like the kapara that is stated by the seer hamishtaleach is bidvarim. And how do I know if it's with dvarim? Obviously, I know it's with dvarim because there is no shechita for the Sira Mishtaleach. There is no Avodas Hadam by the Sira Mishtaleach. So if it affects the Kapara, it's obviously with the Vidui that's stated on the Sira Mishtaleach before it's actually sent to Azazel. So Av Kapara, Mura Bepar, Dvarim. So also the Kapara that is stated by the Parshal Kohen Gadol is also a Kapara of Dvarim. So says the Gemara, Vim Nafshach Lomar, and if you wanted to challenge the Kal V'chomer, then Rashi explains these words in the Gemara mean as follows: Vim Nafshach Lomar, and if you wanted to challenge the Kal V'chomer and say, no, maybe I should learn the Kapara by the Par from another source and not from the Sir La Azazel, then, but you could learn Minei Ubei, you could learn from the Psukim by the partial Kohen Gadol itself, that it has to be a Kaparas Dvarim and not a Kaparas Damim. Why? Harei Omer, because the Pasuk says, V'hikriv Aron es parachatos asher lo. Aaron brings the parachatos. What does it mean by bring? We'll see from the context. V'chiper va'ado vad beso. And it is mechaper for him and for his entire family. Vadayin lo nishchata par. And the par has not yet been shechted. Why? Because if you look at the lamed here in the Torah, or what the pasuk that we're quoting from says, Vikriv Aaron es parachatos asher lo. V'chiper ba'ado uva'ad beso, and then v'shachat es parachatos ashalo. So from the placement of the words in the pasuk, it's evident that there was some kapara that was effected through the par shel kohen gadol even before the shechit of the par. So if there's a kapara before the shechita, it's obvious that what's affecting the kapara is not the matan dam, it's not the avodas adam, rather it is the kapara's dvarim, it's the vidui that is said on the par. So says the Gemara, okay, so vimna vechitema nelif misara nasa bifnim, and if you want to say that, we should nevertheless learn from the sira nasa bifnim, from the sira lashem shekaparoso bedamim, that the kapara was with blood and not with dvarim. So says the Gemara, but I already proved to you that the comparison that the gzeira shava to the sira lazazel was really, in essence, unnecessary, because we learned it out from the psukim themselves by the parat shel kohen gadol that the kapara had to be with dvarim. Harei omer v'chiper v'adayin l'nishchat par. It says v'chiper, and the par still was not shechted. So the par still was not shechted. Therefore, it's apparent that the kapara that we're talking about is a kapara of dvarim and not a kapara of damim. Rashi explains here that when we ask the kasha, why don't we learn out from the sir hanasa bifnim, why don't we learn out from the sir lashem, Rashi says that by the sir lashem, it's obvious that what affects the kapara there is the avodas adam and not the kaparas varim, because Rashi says that by the sir lashem, there was no kaparas varim, there was no vidui by the kaparas varim, and therefore, because there was no vidui, the only thing that could have been mechaper by the sir lashem would have been the avodas adam. That's why the psukim by the partial kohen gadol have to teach us minei yibei themselves that what affects the kapara here is the kaparas dvarim and not a kaparas dam. So as far as why there is no vidui on the sir lashem, the Chizkuni explains the reason that there is no vidui is because it's a gnai to say vidui on a seer that is totally brought on a carbon that is brought totally lashem. It's inappropriate to say vidui and mix in our own iniquities and our own shortcomings with the sir lashem. The Abar Benel, however, says that there was a vidui, but for whatever reason, it's apparent when you look at the psukim by the sir lashem, it's apparent that the kapara that was afforded by the sir lashem came from the avodas hadam. That's what the Gemara was trying to learn out in the comparison from Parshal Kohen Gadol to Sir Lashem. And the Gemara ultimately said, and this was apparent from the prior answer in the Gemara, no, forgetting about any Gzeira Shavar comparisons from the Parshal Kohen Gadol to one of the other Karbonos of Yom Kippurim, from the Psukim, from the context and the sequence and the Psukim themselves, we learn that the Kapara has to be on account of the Vidui and not on account of the Avodas Hadam. So says the Gemara on the top of Lamed Zayin Amud Aleph, Minayin Sheba Ana. So how do we know that the Kohen Gadol recited the Vidui and began with the word Ana? So the Mefarshim explained the reason that the Tosfos HaRosh says the reason that the Gemara is inquisitive about why he began the Vidui with the word Ana is because Ana is typically a lashon of Tfila. And a lashon of bakasha, it's not typically a lashon of vidui, where you're confessing on your sins. So the Gemara therefore seeks a source for why we use this word in connection with the vidui. And so the Tosfos HaRosh points out that there were actually three mentions of the word ana in the Kohen Gadol's vidui, and the Gemara's question only relates to the first mention of the word ana, where he says ana chatasi avisi pashati. So why are you saying ana, please, balashon bakasha, I sinned again, and I sinned a third time, three different types of sins, which we discussed the other day. But the question doesn't relate to the ana when the Kohen says ana kaperna, because over there it's apparent why the Kohen Gadol would use the lashon of ana, lashon of tefillah and bakasha, when he's beseeching forgiveness, a kapara from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But when he's announcing his sins in the actual vidui, the question that the Gemara is asking is, why do we use the lashon of ana? Says the Gemara as follows, Nemar kan kapara, because it says over here, by the parshal Kohen Gadol, the lashon of kapara, v'nemar lahalon b'chorev, and it says over there at chorev, which is by the mice of the egel, where Moshe beseeched Hakadosh Baruch Hu, where Moshe Rabbeinu beseeched Hakadosh Baruch Hu to forgive Klal Yisrael, it says over there also the lashon of kapara. So malahalon ba'ana, just like over there was with the lashon of ana, that Rashi cites the pasuk which said ana chata mazeh, that ana beginning with the word ana chata mazeh, the nation has sinned. So malahalon ba'ana afkan ba'ana, that also over here it's with an ana. So the Gemara's answer is we learn it, and the model is based on the vidui that Moshe said after the Maisa Egel Azov. So minayin shebeshem, and how do we know that? And how do we know that that we say this vidui with the shame? So again, what's this question? So the Marsha explains that the question is, and how do we know that the shame Hashem that we mention in the vidui is the shame of Yudke Vavke, which is the shame Hashem that corresponds to the Midah of Rachman, because we know the shame Hashem that corresponds to the Midah Sadin is Elokim, However, the Midas HaRachmim is associated with Tefillah, it's not associated with Vidui. So the Gemara therefore asks, well, why are you mentioning the Shem Hashem associated with Rachmim in Vidui when Vidui corresponds more with Din? It says the Gemara again, Nemar Kan Kapara, it says over here by Kapara, V'Nemar Be'Egla Arufa Kapara, and it says the word Kapara by Egla Arufa. Malahalan, just like by Egla Arufa, is B'Shem Yudke Vavke. Afkan b'shem, also over here, the vidui of the Kohen Gadol on his par on Yom Kippurim is with the Lashon of Ana, which we learn out from the Egel Azov, and with the Lashon of Shame, Yudke Vavke, which we learn out from Egla Rufa. So Amar Abaya, so says Abaya, Bishlam Achorev me'Egla Rufa lo yalef ma'idah v'hava. I understand that, when Moshe Rabbeinu was Mizvada by Chorev, he didn't have to follow the model vidui that is taught to us in connection with the din of Egla Arufa, where it says Kaper la'amcha Yisrael asher padisa without a lashon of Anna. So why did Moshe Rabbeinu use a lashon of Anna? Well, because the dinim of Egla Arufa were told to us later. Moshe Rabbeinu was writing on a clean slate. He had a blank slate. He could have said whatever he wanted to say. So Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to say a vidui with a lashon of Anna. He wasn't beholden to any other sort of model of vidui. So he was able to say whatever he wanted to say. Ela Egla Arufa telif mechorev. But the strange thing is, says the Gemara, that by Egla Arufa, why were we reinventing the wheel by Egla Arufa when we needed a vidui to be said over the Egla Arufa? Why didn't we just look to the vidui that Moshe Rabbeinu said on the after the Maisa of the Egel Azov and take exactly the model of that vidui? So by Egla Arufa, we don't say the word Anna, even though Moshe Rabbeinu said the word Anna by the vidui after the Egel Azov. So says the Gemara, Egla Arufa Telef Mechora V'chite Mahachanami. And if you want to say, okay, fine, so who says that we don't follow the model of Chorev with respect to Egla Arufa? Maybe we do. Maybe it's the exact same vidui. So says the Gemara, can't be. Vatnana Kohanim Omrim. The Kohanim say, Kaper La'amcha Yisrael. That we know that the vidui that's said by Egla Arufa is just plain Kaper La'amcha Yisrael, plain and simple. V'ilu Ba'ana Lo Kamar. But they don't say Elash Navana, so the Kasha of the Gemara stands. Why by Egla Arufa do they not say the word Anna if Moshe Rabbeinu said the word Anna by his vidui after the Maisa Egel Azov? So says the Gemara, Kasha. So says the Gemara, you're right. It is a Kasha. So just the Mitzbeisam points out that we use the Lashon of Kasha and not a Lashon of Tufta. Kasha usually means that we can answer the question, right? It's not an irrefutable question. So the Mitzvah explains the reason that we can answer this question and it's not an irrefutable question is because we have a general principle that we don't learn Doros Meisha. We don't learn something that is Ledoros from something that was only Lesha. And this vidui of Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't trying to teach us anything Ledoros. The Sukkim in the Torah just recounting how Moshe Rabbeinu was faced with this situation and he had to be Mizvada for all of Klal Yisrael after the Maisa Egel Azov. He did something, he said a vidui, but that was only a vidui l'sha, and therefore we don't necessarily learn out the vidui l'doros of Egla Arufa from the vidui l'sha which Moshe Rabbeinu said over after the Maisa Egel Azov. Says the Gemara Vayter, V'heinon in Achrav, and the Kohanim who heard the Kohen Gadol would answer after the Kohen Gadol when they heard the Shem Hashem, they would say, Baruch Shem Kvo Mechuso Le'olam Vaed. So Tanya, Rebbe Yomer, and this is the pasuk that Rabbi Leibowitz was making reference to yesterday, Ki Shem Hashem Ekra, when we call the Shem Hashem, Havu Godel Le'lokenu. Then we have to respond and say how great HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name is. This is also, of course, the source for Birchas HaTorah, as was mentioned before, that Kishem Hashem Ekra, when we call the Shem Hashem, in other words, when we learn Torah, because Kol HaTorah Shmoshav Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaVagodel Elokeinu, we have to give honor and deference to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and talk about the greatness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu by making Birchas HaTorah, by making a bracha before we actually learn Torah, which is all Shmoshav Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Says the Gemara Vayter, though, on the topic, Amar Lam Moshe Li Yisrael, B'shal Shani Masker Shmoshav HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when I mention the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Atem HaVagodel. You have to give godel. You basically have to proclaim HaKadosh Baruch Hu's greatness by answering Baruch Shem from Kavod Malchuso Liolam Vaed. Chananya ben Achi Rabbi Yeshua Omer, Chananya ben Achi Rabbi Yeshua says, Zecher Tzadik Lebracha, that the source for this is the well-known saying, Zecher Tzadik Lebracha, that when you hear the Zecher of a Tzadik, you have to give a bracha. So Amar Lem, Navi Li Yisrael, said the Navi, in other words, Moshe Rabbeinu said to Klai Yisrael, B'shosh ani maskir Tzadik Olamim, when I mention the name of the Tzadik Olamim, who is, of course, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Atem Tenu Bracha, you have to give bracha, and that's why the Kohanim, when they heard the Shem Hashem issue from Moshe's mouth, they said, Baruch Shem Kvo Machusu Li Olam Vaed. Okay, says the next Mishnah. Balo lemizrach hazara, the Kohen comes to the eastern side of the Azara, litzfon hamizbeach, to the north of the Mizbeach. So just to get the picture over here, and for those who have an art scroll, there's a good picture in the commentary that shows you exactly where the Sirim were. But basically, going into the Azara, past the Mizbeach, to the Kodesh HaKadoshim, you are walking from east to west. And we said yesterday, we've been saying a couple of times, that the Mizbeach was located, depending on the Machlokas Tanaim, either all in the south of the, in the southern portion of the Azara, or it jutted a little bit into the northern portion of the Azara. But we're going to see that our Mishnah is assuming that the Mizbeach was entirely in the southern portion of the Azara. The entire northern portion of the Azara had to be left open at that point for Maisa Shechita, for an inyanim that had to do with Shechita. Now, of course, there were the knives there and there were the tables there where they used to lay the animals and flay the skin from the animals, but those were all the Tzorech Shechita. However, the northern part of the Azara all had to be open. So the way Rashi explains the way the Sirim were situated was you walk into the entrance of the Azara going east to west. The Mizbeach is on the south, so the Mizbeach is to the left, and the Sirim are standing right at the entrance, so it's basically northeast of the Mizbeach. Their heads were pointing west towards the Ulam and the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and their tails were pointing east outside the entrance of the Azara. So Hasgan, the Skan Kohen Gadol, was basically the deputy Kohen Gadol, the second in command, who would take over if anything happened to the Kohen Gadol on Yom HaKippurim, Mimino, would stand on the Kohen Gadol's right. The Rosh Beis Av Mismolo, and the Rosh Beis Av would stand on the Kohen Gadol's left, and the Tiferes Yisrael explains the reason that he would have all these people with him is because when the Kohen Gadol would go to the Azara and you know where everybody was permitted to be, then it was not Derech Eretz that the Kohen Gadol should appear by himself. And it's just an honor to the Kohen Gadol that he should appear with a group around him. Also, the Tiferes Yisrael explains that we'll see in the Mishnayis to come over the next few days that when they drew the lots, there would be two lots. He would take one lot in his right hand and one lot in his left hand, and the skan who stood on his right would say Ishi Kohen Gadol if he got the lot for Hashem on his right hand, and then the Rosh Beis Av would make that same proclamation if the Kohen Gadol took the lot of Hashem, of the Sir Hashem, with his left hand. So basically the reason that you needed people on either side of the Kohen Gadol was simply for the procedure of drawing the Garolo, says the Tiferes Yisrael. That's another explanation. And the third explanation that they give is because the Kohen Gadol on Yom HaKippurim, who's doing a Maisa Kapara with the Goral for the Sir Lashem and the Sir Lazazel, is basically playing the role of Moshe Rabbeinu, who was davening on behalf of all of Klal Yisrael. And Moshe Rabbeinu, we know, had Arun and Hur with him, standing on either side, and therefore the Kohen Gadol, who like Moshe Rabbeinu, is trying to effect a Kapara for all of Klal Yisrael, has two people on either side. He has the Skan on the right side, he has the Rosh Beis Av on the left side. So the Rosh Beis Av was the head of the base Av who would take that mishmar on the day and would be in charge of all of the avoda on that day, were it not Yom Kippur. The fact that it's Yom Kippur tells us, obviously, the Kohen Gadol does the entire avoda of the day. If it wasn't Yom Kippur, there would have been a mishmar, and within the mishmar there would have been a base av. There were chaftal mishmaros, and within each mishmar there were batei avos. The Rosh Beis Av, who otherwise would have done the avoda on that day, is the guy who's standing on the Kohen Gadol's left. So anyway, so he comes into the Mizrach of the Azara, north of the Mizbeach. He's got these two people on either side of him. Vesham Shnei Asirim, and there were two Sirim over there. Vekalpi Haisasham, and there was a Kalpi, a lottery box that was there. Ubash Shnei Garolos, and in the box there were two Garolos. Shel Ashkaroa Haya, they used to be made out of boxwood. Vaso Ben Gamla, and Rabbi Shua Ben Gamla made them Shel Zav. And they would be Maskir Yeshua ben Gamla Lishvach. Yeshua ben Gamla, we saw a couple of dafim ago, was a Kohen Gadol himself in the Bayesheni, whose mother purchased the kuna for him, although he was a great man who was remembered for saving Torah learning in all of Klal Yisrael, Maseches Baba Basra. But he made these garolos out of gold, and therefore he was remembered fondly, he was remembered Lishavach. So Ben Katan asa Yud Beis Dat L'Kiyar. Ben Katan made 12 faucets for the Kiyar. Shelo Hayulo El Ashnayim. That because previously the Kiyar only had 2 faucets. So why would Ben Katan make 12 faucets? Well, you know that there were 13 Kohanim who were involved in the Shechita of the Karban Tamid Shel Shachar and the Karban Tamid Shel Bein Arbayim. We said in the prior parak what all these Kohanim used to do. Now, the Kohen who does the Shechita and all these Kohanim would need Kiddush Yedayim V'Raglayim, which is what you would do with the Kiyar, before they would do the Avoda of the Karban Tamid. However, the Kohen who Shechted the Karban Tamid did not need Kiddush Yedayim V'Raglayim, because Shechita is Ksheira Bazar. After all, you don't even have to be a Kohen in order to do the Shechita. Certainly, if you're a Kohen and you're doing the Shechita, you don't have to have done Kiddush Yedayim V'Raglayim. So if you have 12 spouts, and if you have 13 Kohanim involved in the Avodah Satamid, one of whom does not need Kiddush Yedayim V'Raglayim, using Ben Katan's Kiyar, each of the Kohanim, or all of the Kohanim, were able to be Mekadesh Yadav V'Raglav, Yadayim V'Raglayim, all at one time. So that was the advancement of Ben Katan's system. V'af hu osa muchni l'kiyar. He also made a mechanical device for the Kiyar, shelo ha'yiyu meimav nifsalim belina, so that the Mekiyar would not be Nifzal Belina. So basically, if you have something which is placed in a Kli Shares, and that thing is left to sit overnight, then it becomes Pasul Belina. It becomes Pasul if it sits exposed overnight. And the problem was, you had water in the Kiyar. The Kiyar, according to most Mefarshim, is one of the Kli Shares. And if you have water that's in the Kiyar and the Kli Shares overnight, in the Kiyar overnight, then it's going to be Pasul Belina, and then the next morning you're going to have a problem. You're not going to be able to use that water. So what did Ben Katan do? So he made this Mukhni. So what exactly the Mukhni was, is a Machlokas, Rambam and Ravid, and the Ravid holds like Rashi over here, that the Rambam says that it was like a Kli. It was a Kli around the Kiyar, and the water somehow got into that Kli around the Kiyar, and because the Kli around the Kiyar was not a Kli Shares, the water in this surrounding Kli would not become Pasul Belina. The Ravid said, like Rashi, no, that it was actually some contraption, like a pulley system, whereby the Kiyar would be lowered down into the ground of the Beis HaMikdash every night, and therefore, because it would be underground, it would not be possible, because it's not as if the water was sitting above ground in the key or exposed. Rather, the water is underground. So the Brisker Rav doesn't like this interpretation of the Ravid, because if the key was actually below the ground overnight, then it would turn out that the Mikdash would be missing one of its kalim. And according to the Rambam, one thing that gives the Beis HaMikdash its Kedusha is the fact that all of the Kalim are in the Beis HaMikdash. Now, one way to answer the Brisker Rav's Kasha is that, well, we already said that according to the Rambam, the Kiyar doesn't descend underground. That's why the Rambam has to learn that you make something around the Kiyar. Because, if it was underground, then the Beis HaMikdash would perhaps learn its Kedusha. But the other answer to the Brisker Rav's Kasha is that it's not really a kasha at all, because we know that whatever is underground beneath the Beis HaMikdash has a din of the Beis HaMikdash, and therefore if something is underneath the Beis HaMikdash, it's still considered like the Beis HaMikdash has Kedushas Beis HaMikdash. How do we know? Because we know that in the second Beis HaMikdash there was no Aron. There was no Aron in the second Beis HaMikdash, but why was there Kedusha? Because the Aron was buried beneath the place of the Kodshei Kodshim in the second Beis HaMikdash. So just like there would have been Kedushas Beis HaMikdash when one of the Klisharets, the Aron, was underground beneath the Beis HaMikdash, so too there would have been the Kedushas Beis HaMikdash when the Kiyar was underground beneath its place in the Beis HaMikdash, because whatever is beneath the ground of the Beis HaMikdash is considered as if it's in the Beis HaMikdash for this purpose of Kedusha, of Kedushas Beis HaMikdash. Okay, so says the Mishnah Vayter, that's what Ben Katan did. Munbaz HaMelech Hayaosa Kol Yados HaKelem Shel Yom HaKippurim Shel Zav. Munbaz made all of the handles for the Kelem that were used on Yom Kippur out of gold. Hilni Imo, Hilni his mother, Asa Nivreshes Shel Zav Al Pesach Heichal. Hilni, his mother, made a golden candelabra that would hang at the entrance of the Heichal. Vafi Isa Tabla Shalzov Sheparsha Sota Ksuva Lea. She also made a golden tablet that had the Parsha of Sota written on it, so that when the Kohanim would have to write the Parsha of Sota on cloth and then dip it into the Mei Sota in connection with the whole Sota procedure, they wouldn't have to take out a Sefer Torah in order to see what the Parsha of the Sota was. Rather, what they were able to do was just reference the golden tablet and use that as a model for writing their Parsha Sota on the cloth. Nicanor Nasu Nisim Ladal Sosav. Nicanor had these Maisa Nisim that happened in connection with his Dalasos, with his doors, but which we'll talk about tomorrow in tomorrow's Daf. And they would mention all of these people Lishvach. So says the Gemara, Midikomer Lesofan Amazbeach, from the fact that we say in the Mishnah that he and the Seirim would be to the north of the Mizbeach, Michlal, the Mizbeach la Betzofan Koi. It's mashma that the Mizbeach is not in the north, right? Because if the Mizbeach did jut out a little bit in the north, then it wouldn't be enough for the Mishnah to say that he would be at the east of the Mizbeach. Because if you have to be in the northern side when you have to be above the Mizbeach when you're doing this vidui, and the Mizbeach jutted into the north, it wouldn't be enough for him to be east of the Mizbeach, because if he was simply east of the Mizbeach, he may have been parallel still to the Mizbeach. He might not have been above the Mizbeach. But if you take it for granted that the Mizbeach is in the southern side, and we already said he's in the northern side of the Azara, then by definition, if he's on the east side of the Mizbeach, he's above the Mizbeach, because no part of the Mizbeach sticks up into the north side. So money, Rebbe Lezer ben Yaakovi. So who is this? It's Rebbe Lezer ben Yaakov. The Tanya, Tzfon Elefnei Hashem, Shayat Sofon Kuloi Panui. That the entire northern side of the Azara was cleared of everything except for things that were required for Shechita. In other words, the Mizbeach did not stick out at all into the northern side of the Azara. It's a different Rebbe Lezer ben Yaakov. Ay v'haresha, but the Mishnah yesterday, where we said that the par could be slaughtered between the ulam and the mizbeach, was mashma that the mizbeach was partly in the north. Va'resha Rabbi Lazar Rabbi Shimon he. Aye, but the resha, the Mishnah yesterday, was Rabbi Lazar Rabbi Shimon, because yesterday Rashi explains the Amar mizbeach miktsasa b'tzofah shehichshur shchitas hapar beino ulam lemizbeach. The Mishnah yesterday just said that the par, which was shechted on the west side, closer to the ulam, over here now we're talking about the east side. Yesterday we were talking about the west side, but we said that the par could be shechted on the west side, beina ulam lemizbeach. But if everything has to be shechted only in the northern side of the Azara, and the Mishnah yesterday told us that the shechit of the par could be beina ulam lemizbeach, it's mashma that a little bit of the mizbeach at least is in the north. That's why the mizbeach could be shechted right there, beina ulam lemizbeach. So yesterday's Mishnah is telling me that the Mizbeach was a little bit in the north, and today's Mishnah is telling me that the Mizbeach is all the way in the south. So how's that? Says the Gemara, no. This is not a machlokas. We're not saying the shitas of two different Tanoim here. Kula Rebbe Lezer ben Yaakov. It was all Rebbe Lezer ben Yaakov. The Tani bebeino ulam lemizbeach. In yesterday's Mishnah we said that the par was shechted beino ulam lemizbeach. And if it's Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov who says that the Mizbeach was entirely in the south, and we know Shechit has to be in the north, how could the power have been shechted bein ulam lemizbeach? So says the Gemara, taich up, bibein ulam lemizbeach. I don't mean that he was actually standing between the Ulam and the Mizbeach, i.e. on the south side. He was standing in the north, but in the area that was Bibbein, it was in the space that was between the Ulam and the Mizbeach. He was northwest of them. He was northwest of the Mizbeach. He wasn't due west of the Mizbeach, but he was, in other words, if you look at the Mizbeach is here and the Ulam is here, he was somewhere here. He was somewhere in the middle, but he was north of that. So the entire Mishnah, both yesterday's Mishnah and today's Mishnah, are both like Rav Elazar ben Yaakov. Okay, says the Gemara Vayter. Amar Skam b'imino v'rosh pesav v'smolo. The Skam would be on his right side and the Rosh pesav would be on his left side. Some Rav Yehuda mahalich liyamin rabo. If anybody walks to the right of his Rebbe, arei ze boor, then he's a boor. And a boor, we explain, an Am Aretz, we have two Lashonos that appear frequently in the Gemara. One is an Am Aretz, and one is an Am Aretz, and one is a boor. So an Am Aretz, at least in the way that the Gemara refers to an Am Aretz, is somebody who, you know, just he's not makbid on Tomantara, he doesn't know a lot of halachas, but he has derech eretz, he's a mensch. A boor is somebody who doesn't have midas asichlios, so he doesn't know how to learn, and he's also not even a mensch. So what we say is that somebody who walks to the right of his Rebbe is somebody who walks to the right of his Rebbe is a boor. Why? The Miri explains. He's a boor on two accounts. One, by walking next to his Rebbe, he appears to be equating himself with his Rebbe in terms of prestige. And the second is he should walk to the left side of his Rebbe so that if his Rebbe needs assistance, he can easily reach out to him with his right hand and offer his Rebbe assistance. But by walking to the right of his Rebbe, he's leaving his weaker hand closer to his Rebbe, and he's also making the appearance, he's creating the appearance as if he feels he's on equal footing with his Rebbe. So how can the Skan walk to the right of the Kohen Gadol? So Tanan Askan bimino v'rosh pesav v'smolo v'od Tanya. And also we learn we have another example of people walking to the right and left of whoever was greater than them. Shlosha shahayu mahalchem aderech. If three people are walking on the way, harav b'emtza, then the Rav walks in the middle, Gadol b'yamino, the second greatest walks on his right, the greatest Talmud walks on his right side, v'katam b'smolo, and the katam walks on his left side. V'chem asinu b'shlosh al-malachai yashori shabo etzel Avram. And so too we see by the three malachai yashori who came to visit Avram, that Michal b'emsa Michal, who was the greatest of them, was in the middle, Gavriel b'yamino v'rifal b'smolo. So how can you tell me that a guy who walks on the right of his Rebbe is a boor? We have all of these models of people and malachim who used to walk both to the right and the left of their Rebbeim. And the Psukim and the Gemara doesn't criticize them. So says the Gemara, Tirgama Rav Shmuel Bar Papa, Kameh de Rabbi Ada, Kedeshe Yiskase Bo Rabo. That they should walk basically behind their Rebbe. So in other words, it doesn't mean that they should walk on the side of their Rebbe, as if they are equating themselves with their Rebbe in greatness. Rather, they should walk behind their Rebbe. Kadesh Yiskaseba Rabo means that if you look at the Rebbe from behind, you wouldn't see him because he has people flanking him in either direction. I says the Gemara, that's not good. Vatanya Mahalech Keneged Rabo, anybody who walks Keneged Rabo, who walks alongside his Rebbe, Hare Zebur, he's a boor because he's equating himself with his Rebbe in greatness. But Achore Rabo, if a guy walks behind his Rebbe, Hare Zemegase Yaruach, then he's Megase Yaruach. So he's Megase Yaruach. Why? Because Rashi explains that somebody who walks behind his Rebbe, it looks like he wants to be a Mamala Mukum for his Rebbe. It looks like he's saying, oh, I'm walking behind my Rebbe. As soon as my Rebbe gets out of the way, I'm going to take over his position. It's like he wants to push his Rebbe out of the way already. So where are these guys standing? If the Skan and the base and the Rosh Pesav stand to his immediate right and his immediate left, then we know that's a Maisa Bur. If they're standing behind him, then that's a Maisa Gasei Aruach. But we said the Kohen Gadol needs these people on either side of him, so where are they standing? Says the Gemara, the Mitzadeh, that's Dudeh. So they basically fan out behind him, so you have like a triangular setup. You have the Kohen Gadol who's in front, and you have the Skan who's a little bit behind the Kohen Gadol to his right, and you have the Rosh Pesav who's a little bit behind the Kohen Gadol to his left. So in this way, they're not standing broadside. They're not standing alongside him. So it's not as if they're Balei Gaiva. They're not boor. They're not a boor, and they're not standing directly behind him. So it doesn't create the appearance that they're trying to be Mamala Mukum. So the Tosfos Yeshanim just says here one of the things that we mentioned was that three who are walking on the derech, then the Rav should be in the middle, and the greater Talmud should be on the right side, and the lesser Talmud should be on the left side. I thought we had a Gemara that says that Ein Mechabdim Baderech, that when you're walking on the Derech, and if you meet somebody who's greater than you, you come to a bridge, you don't necessarily have to be Mechabed, the greater person, when you meet him on the Derech. So why is there the strict protocol when you're walking on the Derech with a Rav in the middle, and one on the right, and one on the left? So the Tosfos Yeshanim explains Yes, the Gemara in Brachos was correct, but that's only talking about when you happen to meet somebody by happenstance in the middle of the derech. However, when you start off on the derech, when you're leaving your house and you're embarking on a journey, then you are required to conduct yourself with the appropriate level of respect in terms of having the greatest person in the middle, the number two on the right side, and then the number three on the left side. Okay, says the Gemara Vayter, the Kalpi Hayasham Uvashne Garolos. There was a Kalpi box, and inside the Kalpi box were two Garolos. Says Tana Rabbanan, Venosan Aaron al Shnei Asirim Garolos. Aaron would put on each on the two Sirim Garolos. Garolos shall call Davar. The Garolos can be made out of any material. Yachol Yitain Shnayim Alzeh Vishnayim Alzeh. I might think that you put two Garolos on each of the Sirim, both a Gorol of La Hashem and La Azazel on both Sirim. Tamalomar, no. Goral echad la Hashem, the goral echad la Azazel. That there was only one goral la Hashem and only one goral la Azazel. So you cannot have put duplicate gorolos on each of the seirim. So ain kan l'shem el goral echad, vein kan la Azazel el achad. There was only one of each. So yachal yitain al shem v'shel Azazel al zeh, v'shel shem v'shel Azazel al zeh. Well, still I might think that you should put both gorolos on each seir. Says the Gemara, Tam alomar goral echad la Hashem. Ein kan la Hashem ela echad. The ein kan la Azazel ela echad. Not only was there only one Goral Hashem and only one Goral Azazel, there was only one animal on which the Goral Hashem was placed, and only one animal on which the Goral Azazel was placed. Sim Kane, Matamalomar, Goralos. Why does the Pasuk refer to Goralos if it was only Goral Echad la Hashem and Goral Echad la Azazel? So says the Gemara, Sheyu Shavin, so that they should be even, they should be equal. You should not make one out of gold and one out of silver. The point being that you would make the one La Hashem out of gold because it's a more prestigious material, and obviously coming up with something that has Hashem's name written on it is more prestigious than coming up with something that has La Azazel written on it. Echad gadol v'echad katan. You should not make one big and one small. In other words, basically, it should be an even and unbiased lottery. That it should really be a lottery that you have no idea what you're picking out when you draw the lots from the box. And if one were made out of gold and one out of silver, if they were made of different materials or if there were different sizes, you would be able to tell in advance which one was which, and that's not appropriate. So Garol shall call davar pshita. It's pasha that you're allowed to make them out of anything. So lo tzricha lichadetanya lefisha metzina betzitz. Because we find by the tzitz of the Kohen Gadol, Shashem Kosev Alav, that the Shem Hashem is written on the tzitz Vushal Zav, and the tzitz has to be made out of gold. Yachal Av Zekain. I might think that so too by these Gorolos, since you have a Gorol Echad LaHashem with the Shem Hashem written on it, it also has to be made out of gold specifically. Tamalomar Gorol Gorol Riba. So Gorol Gorol is a ribui to teach me that it can be made out of any material. So Riba Shal Zayis, Riba Shal Egos, Riba Shal Ashkaroa. That it includes both olive wood, it includes nut wood, and it includes boxwood. So the Ritva explains that, of course, what we just finished saying was that the Goral could be made out of anything. So why does the Gemara say the Goral could be made out of anything? It could be made out of olive wood or boxwood or nut wood. And so the answer is, the reason that it says these three things is because these three things they're very, very strong, they're very, very strong wood. So we wanted, even though the Gorals could be made out of anything, still we want them to be made out of a material that is strong and beautiful. Says the Gemara Vayter, Ben Katan Asa Shnei Masar Dadan Likir. The Katan would make 12 spouts, faucets for the Kir. Tana, Kadeshiyu Shnei Masar Echav Akonim Asukim B'tamin Mekachin Yideim Raglein B'vas Achas. So that the 12 Kohanim, like we said when we explained the Mishnah, who were involved in the Avodah Satamid, could each do Kiddush Yideim Raglein at once. Tana, Shachris B'miluo, at the Tamid Shal Shachar, when the water level was full, they would Mekadesh Yadav Raglav Mina Elyon. They would wash their hands and feet from the upper faucets. Arvis Biridaso Mekadesh Yadav Raglav Mina Tachton. By the time it came around to the Tamid Shel Bein Arbayim, when the water level in the Kir was already lower, they would wash their hands and feet. They would do Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim from the faucet on the bottom, from the spout on the bottom. So this is Machlokas, whether we're talking about after Ben Katan's improvement, when he had 12 faucets, were there still faucets on two levels, or were we talking about before Ben Katan's improvements when there were only two faucets, one on the bottom and one on top? But either way, when the water level was full, they would be able to use the faucets on top, and when the water level decreased, they would have to use the faucets on the bottom. Vavu asa mukhni lakir, he also made a mukhni lakir. My mukhni, what's a mukhni? Amrabaya gilgala davi mishka le. Like Pashup Shad, like Rashi and the Rivad, like we said over when we were explaining the Mishnah, that it was a wheel that was basically, through some pulley system, would be submerged underground. Munbas HaMelech asa kol yados HaKelem. Munbas HaMelech would make all the Kelem out of Zav. So Nevdinu l'dizu the Zav. Says the Gemara, okay, if Munbas was such a player, why didn't he make all the Kelem themselves out of Zav? So Amar Abaya b'yado sakinim. We're talking about the handles of the sakinim, of knives. And you can't make the blade of a sakin out of, you can't make the blade of a knife out of gold, because gold is a pliable material. It's not such a strong material, so the knife wouldn't be strong. Meisvei, frak the Gemara, afu asa kane kalim. He also made the kane kalim, the ogne kalim, the yado sakalim, and the handles of the kalim, the yado sakinim shel yom kippurim shel zav, and the yados of the knives on Yom Kippur out of gold. So here we have a brisa that talks about the yados hakinim separately from the yados hakelim, meaning the yados hakelim that we're referring to are not sakinim, and he made those yados out of gold. So the Gemara's kasha comes back. Why did he only make the yados out of gold and not the entire kelim out of gold? So Tirgama Abaya, v'katsasa denargi v'chatsini. We're talking about axes that they used to use to chop the bones. And similarly, just like you could not make the blade of a knife out of gold because it was not a strong material, so too, you were not able to make the blades out of these, the blades of these axes out of gold is out of gold as well. And the Tosfos Yeshanim says that with respect to the other kalim that we mentioned here, when we talk about the grips of the kalim and the bases of the kalim and the handles of the kalim, how come he only made the grips and the bases out of gold? So the Gemara's kasha should come back to its place. Why didn't he make the entire kli out of gold? Tosfos Yeshanim explains, no, by those other kalim, it's mistaber that the entire kli was already made out of gold. But sometimes you have like a nice kli and the whole thing is made out of gold, but the base is maybe made out of rubber. It's made out of an inferior material. So Munbaz's chiddush was that he made not only the entire kli was already made out of gold, but he wanted even the base and even the supports of the and the grips of the other kalim should be made out of gold, just like the kalim themselves. So Hilni Imo Asa Nevresha Salzav, Hilni, his mother, made a golden candelabra. Tana Beshasha Chamazarachas, when the sun would shine, Nitzotzos Yotzos Mimena, Nitzotzos, sparks, basically, glints of, and glimmers would fly from it. Vakol Yodin Sheigias Man Kriyashma. Everybody knew that this Man Kriyashma had arrived because the sun was already high enough in the sky to cause reflections and this beautiful glow from the chandelier. Meisvei, Hakore Shema Shachris and Anshe Mishmar Vanshe Maimud Lo Yotza. Anybody who reads Shema with the Anshe Mishmar and the Anshe Maimud are not Yotze. So Mimnesh Anshe Mishmar Mashkimin, because the Anshe Mishmar read Kriyashma too early, Anshe Maimud Ma'akrim, and the Anshe Maimud read Kriyashma too late. Samar Abaye Lashamad Yerushalayim. So basically, the Gemara's kash is, who is looking at this candelabra to see what this man Kriyashma was? If the Gemara already criticized someplace else, the Anshe Mishmar for saying Kriyashma too early and the Anshe Maimon for saying Kriyashma too late. So the Gemara says, it's L'shar Amad Yerushalayim. It's for everybody else who was standing, who was in Yerushalayim. And when they would look towards the Beis HaMikdash, when the sun was just coming over the horizon, because you could start saying Kriyashma Shal Shachris with Netzachama, when the sun was just coming over the horizon, the sun would shine west through the Kodshei Kodshim, through the Ulam, hit this candelabra, and then everybody to the east would see everybody. Someone would come east, and everybody to the west would see the glimmer and would see the glow from the candelabra. They knew that it was the proper time for Kriyashma. So Vafi Yaisa Tavla, she also made a Tavla Shel Zav, on which the Parsha Sota was written. Shema Mina, so we see from here, Kosva Megillah Latinok Lis Lamed Ba, that you're allowed to write the Megillah, you're allowed to write part of a Parsha for a Tinok for Chinuch purposes. So Amar Reish Lakesh Mishum Rabbi Yanei Ba'alef Beis. No, there's no Raya from here. Maybe she didn't write the entire Parsha out word by word. Maybe she wrote only the Aleph Beis. She wrote only the acronyms. So Meisveik Shu Kosev, but we say that when the Kohen Gadol would write the Megillah Sota, would write the Parsha Sota, wrote he would look at the tablet and he would write exactly what was written in the tablet. It's not a kasha. Maybe he wrote like was written in the tablet. In other words, the actual words weren't written in the tablet. Why? Because ordinarily speaking, you're not allowed to write only a partial parsha on down. So maybe he was looking at the acronyms and he was writing, and he was from the Rosh Tevas, then writing the entire text on the cloth. So Meitzvei Kshu Kosev, Roe v'kosev masha kasa betabla. It doesn't say ki masha kasa betabla. It says masha kasa betabla. Uma kasa betabla im shachav ish osach v'im lo shachav. Im satis, im lo satis. So the Gemara then spells out, this Brisa spells out the actual text of the Parsha Sota. That's what was written in the tablet. So how was he able to write it down if not for the fact that Kosva Megillah Latinok Likadesha Yislamadba? Says the Gemara Hasan Beseragin. No, that over there was only Beseragin, meaning that only the first few words, Im Shachav, Im Lo Shachav, Im Satis, Im Lo Satis, were written out in full, but the rest of the words in the Parsha were written out only in Rosh Teva. So again, this was not a violation of writing a partial Parsha in the Torah on another piece of material, because only the first few words were written, but the rest of the Parsha itself were written only by Rosh Tevas.